Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
In every church where the church had been planted, there were those that wanted to be used by God. God had gifted them. They're gifted teachers. And out of goodwill, they wanted to be used by God. They want to be teaching. They want to see God move, and God's gifted them in that area. And if you guys are gifted in teaching, then you ought to be used by God here. You ought to look for opportunities to be able to teach and share Christ and let God move through you. But there's also, at the same time, those through selfish ambition or here through envy and strife.
The first thing God requires in using us for His kingdom isn't talent, money, or ability. It's humility, a humble heart, willing to serve and do whatever is needed, not for man's approval, but all for God's glory. Here's more from Philippians 1, verses 12 through 18, with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Paul was sent by ship to Rome. While they're on their way, there's a shipwreck. Some have said that's the first instance of surfing in the Bible. The Bible says everyone grabbed a board and went ashore. I don't know whether any of them caught a wave. I guess it's possible. Then, you know, kind of wave came in and one's like, whoa, look, I can stand, you know, and I might very well be the start. While he's there on Malta, he gets snake bit. It's like it just keeps getting worse for Paul. Remember? He gets snake bit and all the natives of the island are like, this guy's going to die. This guy's going to die. But Paul just keeps on. Never dies. And so the message gets preached there. And then he goes to Rome. Now he's in prison at Rome. Now you go back to Philippi. And you hear people in Philippi. Hey, did you hear that Paul's in prison in Rome? No. What happened? Well, he was in Jerusalem and he was in the temple and he got arrested and then they beat him and they took him to Caesarea and he stood before Felix and or Festus and Agrippa. And then they took him and got shipwrecked and got bit by a snake and now he's in prison in Rome. And everybody, no, really. See, they're upset because their friend, whom they love, has gone through all of this. And it's pretty traumatic. It's gone through a lot, right? Now, you may have been gone through a lot now. Maybe a lot of difficulties in your life right now. Maybe you haven't been shipwrecked and snake bit, but you're going through a lot. And so Paul wants to write them to tell them, it's okay. What has happened to me is okay. Here's his argument. Let's pick it up in verse 12 of chapter 1 of the book of Philippians. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, we understand now clearly the things that have happened to Paul, right? We just went over them. And he says they have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. He doesn't say they were done for the furtherance of the gospel. He says they turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, I want to go to a little bit of application before we continue to read on. I don't know where you're at. You may be in a job that you don't like. You may be at a school you don't like. You may be... Maybe there's an illness that you're suffering with. You find yourself going from doctor to doctor and you're depressed and you're upset about what you're faced and what you're gone through. And I'm not saying that God has done anything any that you're going through or anything that you're facing today, but I am saying this. Could it be that God wants to use all of your hardships, whatever you're facing or wherever you're at that you don't want to be, for the furtherance of the gospel? Maybe you've got a job you dislike and you dislike the people that are there. And God's saying to you, until you share the gospel with these people, I'm not letting you leave. A lot of you guys are going to be sharing the gospel Monday morning. You're going to be telling people about Jesus. If that's the case, I'm going to share Christ so I can get out of this place. Now, I don't know whether that's the fact or not. But I do know this. You have the call. And no matter where you go or what you do, God could use that for the furtherance of the gospel. There have been many doctors that have given their lives to Christ by ministering to patients. The gospel has been spread in many different ways. Unfortunate circumstances allow you opportunities to be able to spread the gospel in powerful ways. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying these things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Now he gives two examples of how that happened. First of all, verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. First of all, he says, it's become evident to all of these people that are holding me as prisoner that I am not a prisoner because I'm a criminal, but that my chains are in Christ. In fact, in some of the other letters, Paul greets the people in the letter with some of the prisoners that he's chained to that are as brothers in the Lord. Many of them came to Christ. Paul says, I mean, he could have sat in the corner of his cell. He could have put his head in his hands and said, why am I here and what's happening? And what I could be in Ephesus, I could be in Corinth, I could be planting new churches and what? But he didn't. He simply wrote letters. He shared Christ. He knew that wherever God had him, God had called him to be. And so those around him began to notice and see that Paul was different. They saw that Paul was different not only by the things that he said, but by the way that he acted. Paul wasn't their typical prisoner. Paul acted in a different way, and it opened up opportunities for the gospel to be preached. The second way in which it had furthered the gospel is in verse 14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They saw Paul in prison, and they were emboldened by it. In the 1970s, John MacArthur said something that is a hard thing to say, but I think it's true. He was talking about the lack of the gospel being spread within America, the lack of people in churches sharing their faith. And he said this, he said, I think the best thing that could happen to America is persecution, to the American church, is persecution. Because if we were persecuted, we would turn around and we would share the gospel. And I agree with him. It's a hard thing to say, but I agree with him. I think that if we were persecuted, a lot of us never share our faith. A lot of us never live in a way that we ever give opportunities because we're just not living the way we're supposed to. And so there's no way we could share our faith. No doors ever open up because we're not living the way we're supposed to. But if all of a sudden persecution came, and somebody came in and said, you better not share your faith, all of a sudden we go, you don't tell me I can't share my faith. The next thing you know, you'd be telling everybody, or you'd be emboldened. When I studied this week, I began to pray for us as a church that we would become more bold with the gospel. We have the truth. We know what sets people free. May God give us boldness, that we would share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let the rest of the world do whatever it's going to do, but our lives are for a purpose. We're living for a reason. We know what that reason is. We've been told what it is. Now, Paul now brings up the preaching of the gospel by some in Rome and some different places that are not doing it out of a pure heart. Within the churches, in fact, we'll use the church at Ephesus here as an example again. When Paul was leaving Ephesus, Paul wept with them, and Paul told them, listen, when I go, ravenous wolves are going to come in, and they're going to feed on you guys. People from outside the church are going to come in. Paul knew that there were going to be those that would try to take advantage of that church. But then he also said this, and within you, there are going to be those that are going to rise up to draw men unto themselves. Within churches in Paul's day and within churches in our day, there are people that look at what's going on in a church and they go, you know what? I should be used in a greater way than I am. I'm going to start, through envy and strife, they start stirring people up. We've seen it happen. We've been a church for 25 years. It's happened more than once. It's happened on several occasions where somebody starts strife within the church. They get a group of people and they start stirring them up. They start saying things, sometimes things that are absurdly false, absurd lies. The last time it happened, the lie was so absurd that it shocked some of the college kids that were there when they heard it, that they actually got on the phone and called. They called my daughter, who called me, and I called the guy who said it. It was like, I don't know, maybe just 2 or 3 minutes after it was said. Because the girl called and said, did you hear this? My daughter called and said, this guy just said this. I called him and said, why are you telling people that? He said, oh, I didn't. But in fact, he did. Later on, his story changed to, it was a joke. If I told you what he said, you knew it wasn't a joke. You knew it wouldn't have been a joke. He was stirring people up to be able to draw people to himself. People do that out of selfish ambition. Now listen to what Paul says in verse 15. He says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. In every church where the church had been planted, there were those that wanted to be used by God. God had gifted them. They're gifted teachers. And out of goodwill, they wanted to be used by God. They want to be teaching. They want to see God move, and God's gifted them in that area. And if you guys are gifted in teaching, then you ought to be used by God here. You ought to look for opportunities to be able to teach and share Christ and let God move through you. But there's also, at the same time, those through selfish ambition or here through envy and strife. They're envious. They look at somebody being used by God and they go, that ought to be me. How many people do you think were envious of Paul just because of the way he looked? Looking at Paul and going, look at that little guy. His legs are all bowed. What's going on? How's God using him? Then they look at themselves in the mirror. Look at me. If God will use that guy, God will use me. I think I can take this whole church from him. And you know how often that has happened? Do you know how often people have risen up in a church to draw people to themselves? And then when it's heard that they're causing dissension and strife, they go right down the street. They go, well, God's called me to start a church right down the street. That's convenient. And I imagine you're taking all the people that you stirred up in that church down the street as well. And it happens over and over again. And it's always a crack up when I hear that it happened. I'll even say it before. If I'm talking to a pastor friend of mine, he goes, yeah, I've had this struggle lately. A guy from our church went berserk and he stirred up a bunch of people. And I said, well, let me guess. God called him to move across the street and start a church. Yep, exactly. Because that's what they do. And they always, God told me to do this. Then you better go do it. If God told you, by all means, you better go down the street and start a church if God told you to do that. But it's been done out of envy and it's been done out of strife. And Paul goes on to show the reason that it's been done. Verse 16, the former, that is those out of envy and strife, preach Christ from selfish ambition. Their desire is to build whatever it is for themselves. They want people to hear them. One of the more recent events where this has happened, we had a guy tell us, listen, you're going to have to answer to God for not letting me teach here. To which we said, okay, we'll answer to God. We'll take that. It's through selfish ambition, making a name for themselves, not caring about the people, but just wanting to be heard. For them, it's about them. It's about their call. It's about who they are. It has nothing to do with the body. But then he goes on to say, the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my chains. They just want to get Paul. But the latter, out of love, knowing that I am approved for the defense of the gospel. Paul knew that there would be those that would be raised up with the gift of teaching who out of love would want to feed the body and care for the sheep and really desire them. Now, it's a drag that there's going to be those that are raised up in our midst that are going to be doing it out of selfish ambition. But this is the way things are. You can't paint everybody with the same brush, right? We got some politicians that are doing things out of selfish ambitions. Doesn't mean every politician does it out of selfish ambition, right? Maybe 90% of them, but not all of them. Just kidding. Just a joke. Just a little joke, okay? Just a little pre-November joke. That's all. Same with doctors. There may be weird doctors, but you don't write off all doctors because of that. Same thing with pastors. There's been a lot of pastors that have done a lot of weird, funky things, right? But you don't write all them off. There are some that are doing it out of sincere love. There are some that really do love and want to see the very best. Now, I love Paul's response in this. Paul says, what then, in verse 18? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Paul said, I don't care that these guys are out there preaching out of envy, out of strife, out of selfish ambition. I just thank God that people are being saved. Now, that's an amazing thing. I think that happens in our day as well. I think sometimes there's people that are as far out there as they could possibly be. They're charlatans. They're just ripping people off. There are people, I know this isn't going to shock you, there are people that go around and do events in order to get money from people. It's all about the events. It's all about the money for these events, that they get from these events. They're usually healing services, and they'll take people, and a lot of it is fraud. They'll take people that come in that are a little feeble or in walkers or whatever. They'll put them in wheelchairs and wheel them up front. Then they'll bring them up on stage and tell them to get out of the wheelchair. And when the person gets out of the wheelchair, everybody's like, we just saw somebody healed and they're walking. They could walk when they came in. But nobody knows that. Or they grow someone's leg, or this guy Todd Bentley, you've guys heard of him, out of Florida, who's, left his wife, had an affair, left his wife, remarried the other gal. He kicks people. He punches people. He has this thing all the time. Supposed to be the anointing of the Spirit.
God's Spirit coming upon me. And he just said that.
It's just weirdness, okay? Don't blame that on the Holy Spirit. It's just weirdness that takes place. And then you meet somebody that became a Christian under Todd Bentley's ministry. And you go, how? Well, then is he right on? No, God loves the people. And see, because there's a person that's on the third row while Todd Bentley is punching a cancer patient in the stomach, a person on the third row who is there not because he wants to see Todd Bentley, but because he wants to know God, says, Lord, will you forgive me? And God touches his life. Or maybe even somebody is healed. Now, they've never had a confirmed case of healing. But I'm not saying that God couldn't do it, because God cares about the people that are there. Todd Bentley may care less. He could care less about the people who are there. To them, they're just dollar signs. But to God, he sees the people. And he cares about the people. He says, I thank God that Christ is being preached. Now, I don't feel that way with Todd Bentley, because Christ isn't being preached by Todd Bentley. But if he was being preached, I would thank God that Christ was being preached. Paul says, what then? That in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is being preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. There was all of this strife, all of this contention, and yet Paul was rejoicing that the gospel could be preached. This would be such a perfect passage for a pastor's conference. Pastors who are dealing with the struggles of people rising up and coming against them and slandering them and just coming back and saying, listen, the important thing is that Christ is being preached and people are going to be saved and they're going to be uplifted and this storm will pass and God will do what God is going to do. For you and I, the application of this text I think is strong. God can use wherever we're at right now. God can use our lives even if things have unraveled completely for the furtherance of the gospel. And I desire that for my life. And I believe you desire it for yours, don't you? Don't you want your life to be used for the furtherance of the gospel? Don't you want to be a part of what Jesus did upon the cross? When you think of it that way, that you and I are allowed by God to be a part of what he did upon the cross, that amazes me. That our lives can be lived in that way, and that God wants you to be shaken out of this building like a salt shaker. He wants to shake you out into this city, and everywhere that you go, you're going to live in such a way that people can see Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the time will come, the doors will open up, and you're going to be able to share the gospel. And listen, share it. The power of the gospel is amazing. Share two things. Share the gospel and share your testimony. Tell people how you came to Christ. Tell people what Jesus did in your life. You might think it's not very powerful. You may go, you know what? There's a lot of other people I heard about. One guy was in the mafia and got in a car crash and miraculously survived the car crash. And then three people tried to whack him and he was able to survive that. And he came to Christ. Great. It's good testimony. Awesome. Yours is just as powerful because it's real. Because Jesus reached down into your life. He reached out of eternity and he reached down into your life. I look at my testimony and I think it has got to be the most boring testimony in the world. I listen to somebody talking about all the sin they're involved. I was involved in this sin, that sin, this sin, that sin. I look at my testimony. Well, I was drunk twice. You know, I mean, and I just, but yet when I share my testimony, the response is so overwhelmingly powerful. I don't think it's my testimony that's powerful. I think there's power in sharing our testimony. Why? Because the gospel is woven into our testimony. When we share our testimonies, we are telling people that we have come to the knowledge of the cross and what Jesus did upon the cross. Share your testimony, share the gospel, and watch what God does. Because that is the power of God to salvation. Wherever God calls you, whatever God calls you to do, share your testimony and share the gospel. Let it be a part of who you are. And you got to be living the life first, right? Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do want to thank you as we see Paul and his explanation of the struggles that he had gone through as of late and how you have used them for the furtherance of the gospel. And Lord, we are encouraged and we are strengthened that whatever we are going through, whatever hardships we are facing, even now, that you are moving, that you are doing a work. We pray that our lives would be used by you. Lord, forgive us when we compromise. Forgive us when we're living in front of people in ways that we shouldn't, for whatever selfish reasons. Help us to live starting today before the people around us as a witness for you, showing that you are real and that you have changed lives and that you have changed our lives. And allow us, by the leading of your Holy Spirit, to see people set free, to plant the seeds. We may never see those seeds come to the place of harvest, but we still want to be able to plant them. And that you allow us to be a part of your work, that we can share with you. We're so blown away. We're so blessed. We're so humbled. We want to be a part of that eternal work you did up on the cross. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. I've talked a lot about the gospel here today. I've given a lot of definitions of the gospel. So I don't feel, as I give you an opportunity to become a Christian, that I need to tell you what the gospel is, except to say this: God loves you. He knows every sin you've ever committed. He knows the number of tears that you have cried, and yet God loves you. God has called you. He wants you to respond. He's drawing you. The Bible tells us that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, everything becomes new. He is the answer to any question that is out there. And if you come to him today, he will forgive you of your sins. He will allow you to be a part of what he is doing upon this earth. And the Bible says he'll forgive you of your sins. He'll take a presence inside of you, and he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you are here today and you want your sins forgiven, you've never invited Jesus into your life, or maybe you've walked away and been away from him for a while and you're ready to come back to him now, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just lift your hand up. By lifting your hand up, you're saying, I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for him. Lift your hand up now if you would, please, and lift it up high so I can see it. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand. God bless you, sir, right on the front. Ma'am, there in the third row, your hand went up immediately. That's awesome. Ma'am, back over here to my right. God bless you. It's great. Anyone else? God bless you, sir. Here in the second row. And God bless you underneath the balcony there, sir. That's awesome. Ma'am, over here to my left. God bless you. It's great. Anyone else? The Bible says, today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. See, there's a possibility that God could be calling you and speaking you and drawing you today. You harden your heart against God. There's a tender moment here as God reaches out to show you how much he loves you and what he wants from your life. It's time to respond. I'm going to scan the room one more time, then we're going to pray. So lift your hand up now if you want to give your life to Christ. Again, lift it up high so I can see it. God bless you, ma'am, underneath the mezzanine. And God bless you, sir, off to my left. All right. You can put your hands down, and I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.